नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading today a fascinating text from 8:25. Yes. Jiji Vishe Naham Ihamuya Kim Jiji Vishe Naham Ihamuya Kim. Antar bahis chavitabhyebhya yonya anta bahis chavrita yeba yonya ichami kalina nayasya Viplavas Ichami Kalena Nayasya Viplavas Tasyatma Loka Varanasya Moksham Tasyatma Loka Varanasya Moksham Ji ji vishena miha muyakim antar bahischa vritaye bhayonya icha mikalina nayasya viplavas Tasyatma loka varanasya moksham.
I do not wish to live anymore. When I'm released from the attack, I just don't want to live any longer. What is the use of this body? Covered externally and internally by ignorance. I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not even destroyed by the influence of time. This is an enigmatic text, a text which makes us question what is going on, who, what is the content, please, the Zusammenhang. I will just fill you in. It is about a personality. His name is Gajendra. Due to a curse, he had to take birth as a dull elephant and was attacked by a crocodile. Now, in the beginning, he was very much concerned to save his life. Fought for his own survival. But after some time, a realization started. He said to himself, I do not wish to live upon being saved from this dangerous position. You know, Krishna appeared, in other words, and helped him. And as Krishna came to release him from the deadly grip of the crocodile, something turned in him, something changed in him. He just realized, okay, most properly I will be saved, but I don't want to live that life which I lived before. I do not wish to live upon being saved from this dangerous position. And he continued, I will read to you now the text, putting a little bit more color to it. This is Prabhupada's translation. The earlier text was a little to zero you in. I do not wish to live anymore after I'm released from the attack of that crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed even by the influence of time. Purport. This purport is important for understanding the rest of the lecture, so I request you to listen with a lot of attention. The purport has a lot to do with our own situation in material life. In this material world, every living entity is covered by the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, the Vedas say that one should approach the Supreme Lord through the spiritual master, who's described and offered prayers to in the Gautamiya Tantra as follows. I think some of you know this mantra, please say. Om Ajanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Although one may struggle for existence in this material world, to live forever is impossible. One must understand, however, that this struggle for existence is due to ignorance, for otherwise every living being is already an eternal part of the Supreme Lord. There is no need to live as an elephant or man. There is no need to live as an American or Indian, I could add, no need to live as a German even. No need for this type of life. One should desire only to achieve liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Because of ignorance, we consider every life offered by nature to be happy and pleasing. But in the degraded life within this material world, from the life of Lord Brahma down to that of an ant, no one can actually be happy. We are making so many plans to live happily, but there cannot be any happiness in this material world. However, we may try to make a permanent settlement in this life or that. It's a heavy purport. Prabhupada says, no need to live a material, ignorant life. Huh? Just like the elephant said, no need for this life to be saved, to be continued next. No need. This is the call of the liberationists. It's a voice which is not heard so much in our modern times. We are thinking of arranging our lives so that we can just exist, you know. But here it's a different understanding is brought out, and I think it will... first of all, in the lectures which come in the morning, it will become a little bit clear why this perspective is there, what is its relevance to our modern situation today, and what is our, let me say, standpoint in this view or in relationship to this view, I intend to give some thought provoking lectures at the end of this year, and intend to give you a perspective, a very interesting perspective for the year 2012. And I request you, at the moment everything is a little bit unclear. At the moment, you know, speakers of the Bhagavatam often want to move their audience a little bit and therefore shake them a little bit. So bear with me, stay tuned in, and I'm sincerely praying that you will get something out of these lectures which will be helpful for you, really helpful, and connect with your present situation. Let us say the prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. These words from Gajendra are spoken after a turn of consciousness, a change of mind. And today I would like to start by telling a katha, a Bhagavatam katha, which is very much about a change of mind. A change of mind in a fallen devotee, really. It's a story which is not easy. When Narada started to speak about this Leela, he hesitated. And he thought, I don't know if I can talk about this. Tams marto isho. Narada Muni said, I can't tolerate to remember this. But at the same time, it causes me so much happiness. This pastime of Krishna is almost unbearable. Unbearable, unerträglich. But it will cause great happiness because it evokes powerful emotions in the future. And I think he had us in mind who will hopefully be awakened to powerful emotions. Let's try to understand. There is something which Krishna did once, which is at the same time causing great pain in the heart, but then a little happiness, then a great happiness afterwards. What could that be? And it is supposed to cause pain in my heart and give me a lot of happiness. My God, we should now think, what is this pastime? What is it that will evoke such contradictory emotions? Is it maybe something important for me? Madhukanta, the great narrator at Nanda Maharaj's court, you know, also feels like this. He wants to start speaking about this Leela, but then he says, before I start, I just want to warn you, this will be almost unbearable for you. It will almost be beyond your limits. But keep this in mind. Don't faint when I talk. please bear this in mind, he says. But in the future, it will give you the greatest happiness, I guarantee you. So are you ready? Can you listen to this? And the Brajavasi, the Brajavasis, they go like, what will this pastime be? My dear devotees, this is a pastime about a devotee who became bad. Something happened in his heart that he attacked Krishna, actually. We are speaking this morning about Kaliya, who was initiated by Anantashesha, you know, Bala, it's an expansion of Lord Balaram. He had become a disciple and practiced spiritual life and married the most wonderful Vaishnavis, the Nagapatnis, who were attracted to his tremendous devotion and Krishna consciousness, but who did something wrong. He committed an offense against Garuda, a great, great devotee of Krishna, and then became Kaliya. Kaliya says, who is Kaliya? What is that? You will be amazed. It's a general definition is given. Kaliya iti Kalaiya. It means that person who belongs to Kaliya, to Kala, is Kaliya. Kala means black, night, iron, but it also means criticism, pride, deceit, cruelty, and malice. So that person who belongs to this, he is Kaliya. You know, we sometimes identify, you know, we say, that Sachinandan who belongs to Germany. I'm speaking of that Sachinandan, and usually it's me then. You know, I belong to Germany in some sense. I speak the language and was born here. So someone who belongs to criticism, to pride, to deceit and cruelty and malice, that is Kaliya. Now, you will be surprised to hear that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this will come up on the way to Krishna consciousness. It will rise from the depths of the Hrada. Hrada means the lake in the heart. It will come out, Kaliya, that means criticism, pride, deceit, cruelty, and malice will come out and will try to do what Kaliya did 5,000 years ago, that is, kill the Vrindavan spirit. You know, when Kaliya, the personality about whom, I mean, we will talk mainly about Krishna, but we will talk Krishna in the Kaliya Damana Leela, Krishna who tamed or subdued Kaliya, we will hear about something which is in our life very much present. We will hear about Kaliya and it will be very uncomfortable. We will hear about what poisons our life. There is A wonderful stream in Yamuna, in Vrindavan. You all know this, Yamunaji. Who has been at the bank of the Yamuna? Most of you. This Yamuna is the life of Vrindavan. She flows through Vrindavan, and everyone who sits down at her banks and does a little sadhana, Rupa Goswami says, Yamuna Mai will help him in his heart to develop spontaneous love for Krishna. So Kaliya, this black snake, came into this Yamuna, the life vein, so to say, of Vrindavan, and spread its influence there, and poisoned a lake in Yamuna. It's interesting. Kaliya fortunately didn't go in the river itself, but in a side lake, which was there on the side, because the acharyas say, if Kaliya would have stayed in the lake, the people of Mathura would also have been poisoned. If Kaliya would have stayed in the river, I wanted to say. So, strictly speaking, it went into a deep, deep lake. And as a result, poisoned it. It is described what Kaliya did to the Yamuna River. Kaliya had so much anger, it was directed towards Garuda, that his poison increased day by day. And the result was that the lake in which Kaliya stayed became filled with fire and smoke. Now, if you would have thrown a dry straw into that lake, it would have burned into a flame. The waters were virtually boiling. So much poisonous the Yamuna was that any bird who was flying above the Yamuna and who would breathe in the vapors, the Dämpfe, would fall in the Yamuna and would die immediately. Even the demigods who drank regularly Amrita Kailash, no, Amrita, just Amrita. It's a drink which makes you, supposes to make you immortal, had to stay away from that lake by a minimum of 8 miles. You know, it was just so poisonous. Nowadays, Yamuna Mai is poisoned also. There's a great movement gaining strength over the months, which wants to protect Yamuna Mai, because they know this is the life of Vrindavan. And yes, it's a big campaign in Vrindavan where many sadhus take part, because it has become very critical. But at that time, there was another time which was which I'm talking about, where this demon Kaliya, this ex-devotee who had turned so full with anger and so full with this mental poison, you could say. He was so much, it says he was so much against one particular devotee, you know, that it really destroyed all his good qualities. And he lived there. So, Yashoda, knowing very well about her Kanaya, had warned Krishna. Krishna, please never go close that that part of the Yamuna, please. It's dangerous for you. But Krishna always thought to himself, oh, it's all right what mother says, but I have to make sure that the residents of Vrindavan, all residents of Vrindavan, can live. Somehow, I must go there. So one day, he went to Balaram and said, Balaram, what do you think? I want to go to Kaliya Daman. Balaram thought, to Kaliya Lake. Balaram thought, I thought so. But mother said I shouldn't go, and I don't want to go if mother said I shouldn't go. So Balaram said, you can go. Balaram was thinking about what Krishna wanted to do. You can go. Yashoda just said you shouldn't swim there because you always like to swim in the Yamuna. So what Yashoda Mai said to you is don't go to swim in the Yamuna there. But who said you can't go there? That's a total other thing. So when Balaram's, so Krishna kept the talk in his mind, and when Balaram's birthday came, and Balaram stayed at home to celebrate, Krishna thought to himself, today I'm absolutely free to do something unusual. Balaram is not there. So he went alone. Sukadev Goswami said, Vina Balaram, without Balaram. He went to that special place where no one in Vrindavan went. I imagine in my imagination, I don't know, if you are also like this, I grew up on an island in the land of fairies, and there was always this Nessie. Do you remember Nessie? It was supposed to be a snake which resided in a lake in the Scottish Highlands. Any one of you remembered as a child? Nessie, and we had secret pictures of Nessie, our secret star, you know. and it was not sure. There were some movies, some documentaries which showed something which looked like a huge snake which came out, but others said it was fake. It was not correct. Do you remember that time? Is there actually a Nessie? Did they find a I think it's something like a yeti, or something which lives in the fantasy of man. I still have this, you know, when I go to bathe in the Adriatic Sea, I still see Nessie's mighty snake body coming out of the water, and I'm going, oh, should I get out of the water? No, I'm now 50 years, it's all right. So that was a place, a no-no, don't go there. So Krishna went with his cowherd boys to this place, and the cowherd boys, knowing that Krishna was there and his protection was always granted to them, they went a little bit ahead, and they saw some parts of the Vrindavan forests which looked just so attractive simply for the reason that they never had gone there. It was new. So they say, so the cows were all very joyful. There was grass which was, they had never seen such grass. They went, the cows went, and Krishna stayed a little bit in the back because they went so fast. And they came closer and closer to this dangerous area, which we have described to you, the area which was affected by the poison of Kaliya. And then, very quickly, the cows went to the river, drank the water, and immediately fell to the ground as if dead. When the cowherd boys, like Sridham and Subal, saw this, they were horrified. It was hot. They were surrounded by cows which looked dead, and they thought, this is Gokula, the land of the cows. Jiva Goswami said that these cowherd men, their hearts were full with cows. They thought about cows day in and day out. It's almost maybe like a mother thinks about the child for a substantial amount of the time of the day. These cowherd boys were devoted to their cows. And they thought, this is Gokula, the land of the cows, but they are now dead. And the cows were just so... A cowherd boy said, is this a dream? Or is this the death of our life? They immediately decided, if the cows are dead, we will also die. It's just like a mother who sees that her child having fallen down a cliff. Many mothers go after their children in such situation. They went into the waters of the Kalia lake and decided to commit suicide. And they drank the poison and they all died. I warned you, this will be intensive. They all died. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, it was not like that. How can the eternal associates of Krishna die? It was not like this. What it was that Yoga Maya came and covered their life airs, their pranas, so that they were as good as dead. You can ask Radha Kripa, who is studying pranas and yoga, what that means if you cover the life air. But you are not dead. It's not right to say. It's just covered. So Yoga Maya did that. So by that time, bad omens appeared and Krishna arrived at the bank of the Yamuna. When Krishna arrived at the bank of the Yamuna, he looked around and he saw by the poison of Kalia, my beloved associates have died. And a thought ran through his mind, which is very sweet and very pleasing. Take note of it, it's in Gopal Champu. He was shocked. And he said to himself, what has my impulsive nature done? The boys are equal to the devatas, and so are the cows. Because of me, they are now in this situation. What should I do now? I'm the only life of these boys. And how will I explain this to the mothers and fathers of Sridham and Sudham? Oh, what misfortune has my impulsive nature caused? Have you ever been in the situation, Adi Shesha, where you felt your you are actually very brahminical, it never happens, but has any one of us ever been in the situation where we felt my impulsive nature, my impulsive Natur, has brought me now into a situation which is really bad? So Krishna, imagine how much he must love the cowherd boys. He says, I decided to do something unusual today with my impulsive nature, you know. And I brought everyone to this lake where they actually drank the water and died. This has gone totally out of my hands. And he was very, very shocked. Imagine God is shocked by his own activities. This is a tragic situation. You can only hear this in Vrindavan. Krishna once expressed to a yogi, Durvasa, you must know there is something about me and my devotees which you cannot understand if you are a yogi. I will now tell you this. Sadavo kridayam mayam. My devotees are in my heart and I am in their heart. This is how intensely Krishna is related to his devotees. They are in my heart and I am in their heart. It is intolerable for me if something happens with them which is inauspicious. So it is described that Krishna was moved very much as he saw the cowherd boys and the cows dying as if dead on the banks of the Jamuna. He was intensely moved, and this movement in his heart brought about that his heart melted. And, you know, when the heart melts, this usually manifests in tears. So Krishna's heart melted and tears came in his eyes. Tears, real tears came in his eyes. Forgotten was that he is the Almighty God. Forgotten was that he is able to solve all the situation just by his will. Forgotten was anything which had to do with his powers. Only the only thing present which was there in Krishna's heart was my devotees. And he started to cry. When we hear in the Bhagavatam that Krishna revived the devotee, the cowherd boys and the cows by glancing over them, what it means is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna went through the cowherd boys and his tears, which came out of his eyes, sprinkled upon the cowherd boys so that they didn't all stand up in unison, but one by one, as Krishna looked at them, and just tears just came out of his eyes. They were sprinkled, and this brought them back to life. Only those who were nearby were first revived. The others who were not nearby, as Krishna walked through his devotees, were revived a little later when Krishna came there. When the cowherd boys sat up, their cloth were disheveled. They were sitting upright, and Krishna brought them all together. Sakas, my friends, are you well? And he embraced each single one, but they could not speak. They had realized that Krishna had just saved them from death. They thought to themselves as they sat there, the sweet cowherd boys, at the banks of the Yamuna, we were dead. So how is it that we have come back to life? What herbal medicine, medicine, or mantra was used? And then one friend looked at the other friend and spoke with his eyes. He didn't want to speak out loud. Friend, I know the secret. And then the other asked, what is the secret? And then the other dared to speak it loud. Do you remember when Gagacharya came and did the name-giving ceremony of Krishna? Do you remember what he said? He said, this boy, this child, will save all of you, the Brajvasis, from all kinds of danger. That is what Krishna did. He fulfilled the prophecy of Gagacharya. He saved us from danger. But how did he do it? Then another one said. They remembered Krishna, and they discussed how they did it, and they came to a conclusion. The conclusion is, and they all agreed on this. Now listen about this beautiful sweetness of the relationships of the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan. We were brought back to life by the merciful glance of Govinda. How is Govinda so powerful? Well, Nanda Maharaj daily worships Lord Narayan. And because of the worship of Krishna's father, Krishna, who is Govinda, was empowered by Narayan personally so that he has the life-giving glance. You know, in medieval Europe, we know about the evil eye. Do you know about this? When someone looks at you who is an evil person, then you will be sick. The evil eye. Krishna has the life-giving eye. In Persia, we have this. We have some elephants with a dot on it, and we hang it over the doors. It goes down, so that those who look with an evil and envious eye on our house look on this thing, and then the evil eye cannot do anything any longer. I have such a thing in Gaurabhavan. Therefore, there's usually a good atmosphere there. Yes, but this was the life-giving eye of Krishna because of Nanda Baba's worship. So then, when Krishna had, after Krishna had served his cowherd boys, he went to the cows. And can I describe to you the meeting of Krishna and his cows? First, when they saw, they mooed with great affection. Then they licked Krishna for a long time. Krishna went to each cow and just embraced the cow on the neck, closing his eyes with affection. And all the cows became splendid. Splendid means brilliant, who were embraced by Krishna. They looked with eyes which never could be satisfied on Krishna, and drank the nectar of Krishna's face. They just stared at Krishna's face, you know, which still must have been, because Krishna just had revived them, full of streams of tears. Tears, you know, when Krishna, we hear when Krishna sweats, then the spider decoration, you know, these are decorations made with a colored chalk of Vrindavan are wiped away. So imagine when Krishna cries, when he really cries, his face must look highly influenced by the crying, you know. That some ornaments must be washed away. So the cows looked at Krishna's face, which still looked so absolutely sweet. You know, when a Mataji who has makeup cries and everything goes all over, she looks like the wife of Dracula, you know, there are such movies I have not seen, but I have seen one poster, and Krishna looks just very effulgent, yes. And he embraced each cow. Now, I want to make a point here. Krishna relates individually to each one of his devotees. I really feel this point is very important for us to understand some parts of the Leelas which will follow later. Krishna relates individually to each one of his devotees. Sometimes this means for us as devotees, we have to learn to be alone. Let all others stay for a moment in their relationships and where they are. Let us now, for some time in our life, turn to Krishna, not diverted by any other relationships. I feel this is crucial, and I often see devotees who come to festivals and enter into a new atmosphere, and the atmosphere at the beginning is a little bit unusual, and whatever is unusual by the conditioned psychology revolts against that. No? Unusual. I was going alone in my bathroom. Now I have to go with 20 people at the same time. It was uncomfortable. My recommendation to you, those of you who feel like this, and or may feel like this, when all of a sudden you are in the go alone, become alone, make your relationship with Krishna. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once was on his way to Vrindavan with many, many devotees. He came up to Kanai Natai Shala, where Rupa and Sanatan Goswami met with him and told him, don't go with so many people to Vrindavan. Go alone. My dear devotees, learn this. Go alone to Vrindavan. Go alone to Vrindavan. So that you are free, absolutely free, to concentrate on that one relationship. Every day, Chaitanya Rasa, go alone. Every day, have a moment where you are alone with Krishna. This is necessary in order to develop a relationship. I want to speak about the emptiness of the heart here. Usually, our hearts, when we come into the material world, our spiritual hearts, are empty. We miss Krishna so much. But in the course of our life, we fill it with so many other things that we just think, have to think all the time about these people, about these obligations, about these commitments, about these things which we have to do. If you want Krishna, become empty. Learn to embrace the emptiness where you don't have so many diversions in your life. I feel this is what a retreat and a seminar like this one in Goloka Dham can offer to each one of us. An opportunity to concentrate on the relationship with Krishna. I think you have all understood by now when I say become empty, be alone, I really say think of Krishna and make your relationship with Krishna. Have you understood my language? It's mystical language. You say one thing, but you mean something else. It's used in spiritual circles, you know. I would like to be very clear here. Become free from distractions. Yeah? Free from Ablenkungen, distractions, so that you are free for Krishna. When your heart is so full with so many millions of things, when it's like a room full with too much furniture, you can't offer a seat to the one guest, the one person you want to have in your room. I can't say this enough. Let me ask you a question. When do you like to eat a lot? When your stomach is full or when it's empty? Let me ask you another question. When do you like to drink a lot?
when you are full with water or when you have no water inside. In the same way, your appetite or your, let us use the word lobha, your eagerness, we don't speak of just an appetite or an attraction, we want eagerness to come. It will come when you are empty, when you are not distracted. I would like to give an example, although it may be boring for you, and I really don't want to talk about myself, but it's an example where I need to be a little bit critical, so one should not criticize others, but one can criticize himself. When I came back now from India, it's the Indian food, somehow certain things which we are all accustomed to the West are not in the food, maybe certain minerals or I don't know, vitamins or whatever it is. And I came to our Bhagavad Dharma's table, and I already said to Nanda Gopal, I can eat the universe, I'm so hungry, I if nothing is there, I will just start here with the wood of the house, I'm just so hungry, I need to eat, So then there was when you come to Bhagavad Dharma, there is never a time where nothing is available. There is something in Bhagavad Dharma's house, because he likes to take care of his guests very much. I've seen a high immense of Vaishnava hospitality in his house. Also, the unannounced guests who come can get usually something to take when they are hungry. So I was just eating and eating for 2 days. I was not doing anything else than eating. And, the bathroom is my witness. I ate so much that so much came out also, because I was just so hungry. I don't know what came over me. I've never seen myself. I hope it has stopped today. It was because of coming back from India, because of being empty. So allow yourself this time over the change of the years to become not distracted. Maybe you want to reduce your phone calls or email contacts, or you want to reduce your thoughts of so many things which may not be useful any longer for you in your life. Try to use that freedom from distraction and the tremendous benefit of staying in a devotional atmosphere. Try to use that time to fix yourself on Krishna. So I want to come to the end of this. I just wanted to make this point, because then Krishna will come. He will look at you. When you feel like this, oh Krishna, I'm in need of you. I have not been so active in my relationship to you. Unfortunately, I have not thought so much about you. I have not served you in a way which I would like to have served you. Oh Krishna, please do accept me the prayer says an aparadi, someone who has turned away from you. And Krishna will definitely bring you out of this death-like, the spiritually death-like situation. Just like he brought the cowherd boys and the cows out of this. The poison of ignorance has also destroyed us. We are also often lying there. And we need Krishna's glance. And if you become aware that this is what you need, then something will happen. Also, you can do this very practically. You can go to Madan Mohan. Do you remember what Bhagavad Dharma told us yesterday? He said, these deities are the Sambandha Tattva deities. That is what he said yesterday. And you can read that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not a speculation. These deities are the relationship deities. Yeah. He said. And it's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can go to Madan Mohan and say, Can I try again? You know, you can do. So
what happened in Krishna when he had when he was with his devotees and he embraced them and had cried for them? It is described, an immense emotion arose in him. Previously, Krishna had heard that Kaliya was in the lake. It's called Hrada. Hrada means also Hrida, Hrida, the heart, the lake of the heart. Krishna had heard Kaliya was in that lake. Or let us go in the metaphorical dimension. Krishna had heard that the evil was in the heart, you know, and an immense emotion arose in him. Previously, Jiva Goswami said, Krishna had hesitated to go and kill Kaliya. And there was a reason. He knew Kaliya was a devotee before, and he knew he was married to these, forget this about it, the devotee, I said it wrong. The reason why Krishna, he had heard about this monster living in Vrindavan and the birds dying and so many people dying, he had heard about it. But he knew in his heart, Kaliya is the husband of first-class devotees. His wives are the Nagapatnis. And I just don't want to cause any harm to these ladies, these saintly Vaishnava ladies. I just can't bring it over my heart. I just can't go there. Jiva Goswami said he was shy to go to the Yamuna Lake because of thinking, if I go, you know, something might happen, and I will challenge, I know myself, I will go to Kaliya and I will just challenge him and defeat him. So he was shy. What happens when you are shy? Have you ever been shy? You just don't want to go to some place. Like when they say, Jai Gopal, there is a lecture waiting for you. 30,000 people are out there. And you say, not me. I can play Madanga to 30,000 people. But what will I say? You will be shy and you will say, Radha Kripa, you go there. I'm joking, you know. You might be also a little shy. You know, when you are shy, you don't want to go to a place. Like, it happened often to me in preaching when I was a young preacher and we went to these huge things. I would just, not me! I would just go back, you know. I was too shy. Hare Krishna. So Krishna felt that shyness in his heart. They are my devotees, these Nagapatnis. But now an immense emotion was in Krishna's heart. Jiva Goswami said it was so strong that he had to hide it. You know. When he had seen how death had approached his cows and his friends, Krishna was just ready to go into action. He said to his cowherd friends, don't be afraid now. My effulgence is enough to destroy any inauspiciousness. My effulgence is totally enough. Krishna wanted to go climb on the tree and jump into the Yamuna, but he would know that his cowherd boyfriends would capture him and pull him down and not allow him to jump into the Yamuna because they had just seen what the Yamuna was now.
So Krishna had to make a trick. He said, can't you just go with the cows? You know, they are a little bit exhausted now after all of this. Go and let them graze on some fresh grass just nearby. And whatever happens now, don't be afraid. My effulgence is enough to take care of all inauspiciousness. And the cowherd boys left Krishna. This is what Krishna wanted. They went a little bit to the side to graze their cows. And then Krishna. Climbed up the tree. He bound his dhoti like a wrestler will do. He adjusted his hair and bound it back for fighting. You know, when you really fight, you don't want to come the hair to come in your eyes. You know, maybe, you know, that's. And he clenched his lotus heads. You know, he was really angry. Kaliya has dared to kill the Vrindavan spirit. He has killed my friends, the cows. He has poisoned everything. I'm really going to confront him now. He clenched his fist. Prabhupada says, he flapped his arms back and forth. Like a wrestler. I don't know how wrestlers... Yeah, wrestlers actually do. But it is more like... you know. No? Have you seen wrestling? Have you done? It's, you know, you have to be a little... you know. So Krishna did like that. He flapped his arms back and forth like a wrestler. And then he jumped. It is at this point in the katha where we will stop our katha. We will rest our book with the Krishna Leela. Put it to rest. Tomorrow we will start the lecture with trying to understand Kaliya. You know, as we said, he was a devotee, but poison entered the lake of his heart, and he became what he was. We will try to understand a little bit of Kaliya's psychology. A little bit, don't worry, it won't be a Freudian analysis. I'm also not qualified to do that. And we will hear what happened when Krishna jumped. It was, you know, if God jumps into something and he is eager now, he will not hide his powers. At least in the beginning he hid his powers, but then they came out. I mean, it was something. We will hear also tomorrow about some other relationships which were taking place at that time. And it will be very nice. But for now, I want to leave you with one thought. We have heard that this malice, this darkness, can also come up in our hearts. We have recited today a prayer where one devotee says he doesn't want to have this darkness. Do you remember who that was? Gajendra, you have heard very nicely. Thank you. He really spoke about, I don't want to continue with this darkness. So today we are really hearing about Kaliya, who has this darkness, criticism, you know, who represents all this darkness. And we said it will come up when we do our sadhana. It comes up, you know, you will be surprised. When you are put before Krishna and you have to decide in your life, Krishna or non-Krishna, then, you know, the light is at that time still there and the shadow will increase. When you think about Krishna or not Krishna, it means Krishna is still in your thought, you know, and the light is there, the shadow increases. It happens that this wickedness, ich sag mal, in Deutsch Bösartigkeit, will come in the heart. It will come. Don't worry. I mean, I don't want to say don't worry. Worry. But there's a solution. And tomorrow we will hear about it. Very interesting solution. Because in a way, you can't fight with that. This is so strong with what will come, that poison, that you need help. And we will, tomorrow in the Leela, this will become very clear. Very clear. So we heard about that. But for now, in this Leela, I want to just bring to your attention this one point, how Krishna brought back the cowherd boys and the cows from the dead-like situation. Remember, he felt so much emotion in his heart because he had earlier said that he had said in the Bhagavatam, the devotees are in my heart. He felt so moved that his glance was filled with his tears, and these tears fell on the cowherd boys and brought them back to life. You know, we have prayers, the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava. You know, you can say, Muninda Vinda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vakta Pankaje Nikunya Bhuvilasini Vajenda Sunodbandade Nandenda suno sangate kadakadesya sihamam kripa kataksha bhajanam kadakadesya sihamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. It means, when or when will your glance of mercy fall upon me? When, oh when, will that glance which is filled with the tears of compassion fall upon me? That is what will bring life to me. Huh? There's this prayer in relationship to Srimati Radharani, and there's also the Krishna Kripa Kataksha Stava. Very, very, very deep prayers. And I want to leave you with this thought. Huh? When will your glance of compassion fall upon me? This is something I would like you. Just a little, yes. Let me see if there is one question, one or two questions. Gaura Hari. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You spoke, I will repeat the question for the microphone at least. You spoke about becoming alone. How can we keep free from distraction in the midst of so many people? I want to say again, when I say be alone, I be alone from distraction, empty from distraction. Just face that situation and be together with Krishna. No? Well, the answer is you need to focus. At the moment where you focus on something, you will not have eyes and ears for another thing. So when you are focusing, for instance, in the masses of people, let's say on deities Gaurahari, this is the, in the experience of everyone, you feel really you are with Krishna. Do you remember darshans in the Krishna Balaram temple, maybe in Kartik time, or it's now even full after Kartik time? It's so full in the Krishna Balaram temple because of so many pilgrims who are attracted to the beauty, the extraordinary beauty of the deities there. Remember, you are there and you are really, so many people are there, and you are almost, you have to really pull your arm out of the crowd if you want to just give us, say, please save me to the deities, you know, something. You really, it's really full. But because during darshan, you use absolute focus on the deities, you just don't have that feeling. You are with many. Do you know what I'm speaking about? It's mystical almost. Or I would like to give an other answer. If you're focused on your service, that's another point of focus. You will remain focused and uninfluenced. I remember you personally, when you were doing this ecstatic service during the Kirtan Mela, you know, to see that the next singer is of Kirtan is there, and I don't really know what your service included, but there were many, many aspects. And I remembered, I tried to give you a sign, and usually you pick that up very fast because we are a team since 10 years, you know. Have you noticed when how I just look for 1 second on Gaurahari and he knows what to play on the harmonium? Have you noticed? It's you don't know. I just need to look like this. That means we go Jaya Prabhupada in the next, you know. Or I go like, just very quickly, you know. No one knows. No one saw that what was happening. It means you go now the first, we are in the second melody, you go to the first melody, but you transport it 1 octave higher. You know, this, you know. No one can see it, but no. So when you are together in a team for many years, everyone, the other person can just pick up from a hint a volume of meaning, an octave of meaning. You know, but when you were focused on that service to put it all together, I hinted in vain. Vergebens. Because you were focused, and what to speak of, I mean, I'm not other things, you didn't see other things any longer, because when you're focused, then you are. But if your subtle body is focused on who is that, how do they look at me? Have they noticed that I have a new haircut? You know, and will they? I'm speaking a Mataji language now. We usually have the same haircut, you know. I'm now, and if you lose yourself in the crowd, in the minds of the millions of people who have thoughts, then yes, you have lost yourself and your concentration on Krishna. You're on another level now, the level of false ego, of identity, where things are disturbing or elating. Elating means it gives you happiness. Focus. That helps. Hare Krishna. Do you also like my journal? It looks like this is a Krishna Leela journal. I got it as a present. They are even golden. I want to step out now of this lecture, step out of what I'm doing, what I did, and just say, please listen to this Krishna Katha. You will discover many jewels in your life. And the nice thing is, it will happen to you not on the intellectual level, not on thinking about it. You know, Krishna conscious changes and transformations do not always happen through the mind. It happens on another level, and that's why we hear Krishna Katha and engage in holy name, Krishna singing. It does something on a deep level. So please, tomorrow comes the second part. I think we need three parts. I will now end here very quickly, because you need to take your prasadam.